Take my lips and the garage and get a tool and pull that stereo out of there. It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to get down there.
Part here.
Comes with her hands on her hips. Chip, what are you doing? I'm getting my stereo out of here. Chip, why are you doing this? Well, you know, that's what I do with the car. You can say I can get a stereo too. And I just had that look. These guys who are married, you know what I'm talking about? I had that look that goes, are you kidding? I mean, how narrow? Chip, where are you coming from? And what I remind you of, even when we see each other, you know, we want to control things, we want to do it in a way that kind of works for us, and we want to just figure out how much can we give without giving too much. I want you to know, I really didn't know very much about Chip, honestly. The good news was, I obeyed. The bad news is, I really wasn't on the same page with the Lord. And the reason is, I didn't understand the principle that we're going to talk about. I didn't understand the secret principle that allows me to give generously, to give in such a way that my heart is filled with joy. And so what I want you to do, if you'll open your book to chapter 2, go to the very end of discussion and reflection, and then open the Bible, if you will, to Luke chapter 16. Now, last time we met together, the core passage was Luke chapter 12. Look at the Bible, about four chapters, and I want to pick up a story, and embedded in this story is a secret. There's a principle in the story that will cause your heart and my heart to get released to be generous, because generous is the smart and genius way to live. Jesus called a parable. There was a rich man who was a manager who was wasting his possessions. So he called him and asked him and said, what if there's like your money? Give me about your management, because you can't be my manager at the moment. Translation, the guy is the steward of the manager. He's going to get fired. He's been squandering his position. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master's taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'm doing. So when I leave my job here, people will welcome me to their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master?
800 gallons of oil, he replied.
The manager said, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he said to the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told them, take your bill and make it 800. Now, this is a very interesting, this is a twisting kind of teaching of Jesus. Listen very carefully. He is not, I repeat, he is not commending this unrighteous manager or steward.
When he showed up here, I can put him back up there.
Okay? He's not saying, you know, way to cheat me and way to have a second set of books. What he's saying is this. How this man thought and his understanding of the steward was very, very
true. I may have touched
and so Jesus goes on to say here, notice what it says. He says, the master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. For the people of this world were shrewd in dealing with their own money. Then the people of Elijah, I tell you, Jesus' command, use worldly wealth and gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwelling. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? When you analyze that teaching in Luke 16 of Jesus, there is one secret principle. The master owns it all. That man is a steward. In other words, he's a manager. He doesn't own it. See, it's hard to give the stereo mine. It was hard to give the car. It was mine. It's hard to give money. It's mine. It's hard to give time. It's mine. It's hard to share my spiritual gifts if they're mine. But what Jesus is teaching is that this man was a picture of stewardship. You see, it's one of the bright ideas. Look right into your book. It says stewardship is the path. Generosity is the adventure. When you come to grips with, beyond your head, down to your heart, God really owns it all. What do you have that you haven't been given? Your time, your energy, your opportunity, the oxygen that you breathe, the job that you have, the family that you have, everything and everyone belongs to God, and you are his money manager. You are his steward. And so you got to get back to that picture of what it was like with me and John Sackler. mean, it was his money. He can spend it however he wants. He can tell me what to do with it. And so that changes your attitude. The secret principle in learning to be generous, and remember, it's genius. It's a smart way to learn. The secret principle is you've got to come to grips with it's his. And once it's his, he has the right to tell you to do whatever he wants to do with it. But here's the thing. He's kind. He's generous. And as someone said, some people are streams and some people are dams. You know, streams are where water flows through. Dams are, they hold water. Whenever God finds a person whose heart is generous, they know the secret principle. It's not mine. I'm just entrusted with it. You're a stream. And you know what happens with a stream? There's unlimited flow of water available. But when you're a dam, when you're protected, when it's mine, I can only give so much. When you ask questions like, are we supposed to give on the gross or the net? You know what that question reveals? How little can I give of my stuff and still kind of be okay with God? That's not genius. That's legalism. That's asking the wrong question. God wants you to experience his heart. Because the second half is an adventure. Stewardship is the path, of course, but generosity is the adventure. I told the story in the first chapter, remember, of the morning where I was, you know, maybe coffee is the only thing I know how to give away. But there was this homeless guy, and he was living out in the streets, he was living in his car. I mean, he was a hard drug user, and he looked scared, to tell you the truth. And every morning, for like, you know, 2 or 3 years, I would study in the school of donut shop. And I would get there real early in the morning, because that's when I do my best study. And this guy, he's seriously like this. And you can walk by him. Hi. No response. And then one day, I bought him a cup of coffee and a guy on the bagel. And then he told the story where he said, you see that scar? Now here's the problem. That was probably 12 or 13 years ago. About 6 weeks ago, I went over, drove over the hill where I used to live. And it was early in the morning. And so I stopped in that shop. And there was Mike sitting there. The man that I took one little step of generosity with 10 or 12 years ago. I walk in the door, Mike gets up, and this guy hugs me. Man, where have you been, Chip? How are you doing? Hey, come on, sit down. And we had this conversation, and you know where it started? The bridge, the connection started with one small act of generosity. Over the next 10 years, Mike and I talked about a lot. I learned that Mike was a really smart guy. I learned that his daughter actually had a full ride to a school in Arizona. I learned that he had a sister that had lost a kidney, that she had a real high professional job. I learned that Mike's life fell apart because of the drug use. And he was this gifted, skilled, amazing guy that looked like a homeless person no one cared about. But what I understood was, what I have doesn't belong to me. I'm just a steward. And when God has the freedom to prompt you, that's one of the big bright ideas. The second bright idea is may God his purpose their highest priority. You see, those three questions that they ask in the chapter, is my money going where God, who really owns it, wants it to go? Am I keeping careful track of the money that I do have? And then finally, am I using it to fulfill his purposes? And we talked here about the Great Commission, of building the lives of people, of helping the poor. God wants his resources that belong to him, that he's trusted to you. He wants them to use in ways to bless, encourage, and fulfill his purposes. And the byproduct is an amazing joy, an amazing connection to people. And the final right idea in the book is, enjoy God's generosity to you. You know, don't get so focused on God, his purposes, and mission, and changing the world, that you don't remember that just like John said, Chip, come on down to Dallas. Let's have a great lunch. Let's laugh. Let's talk. Let's enjoy. This is not about performance. It's about understanding the owners of all. Are you ready for this application? Application number one, I want you to watch that brief video by the founder of Domino's Pizza, Tom Lyon. It's an amazing story of someone who recognized that it didn't belong to him and a lot of good came out of it. Application number two, I want you to review your verse, right? Outline it together. I mean, I'm going to get where we can take this together. Luke 6:38, the genius of generosity. And I want you to quote it to one another. You don't have it this week, it's okay, but hey, you better get it in, all right? And application is approved. I want you to come up with a little plan as a group to meet. I want you to talk in your discussion time about a need that you would agree on as a group that we decide. You decide whether it's time, whether it's money, but I just want you as a group to take the step and begin to meet the need and be generous with your time, or your money, or your gifts to help someone. Finally, let's start our discussion with this question. What has God deposited into your life and asked you to steward? Make a list. You ready? Just listen to one to another. What has God given you that He's entrusted for you to use?
Washed in white as snow. And when we
In his giving away his money, he basically is happy without anything. It's kind of an interesting thing because most people, if they have a lot of money and they grew up poor, they're afraid of that experience again. But in his case, when he had that conversion that he had, he really, really believed that the most important thing was the eternal. And it made such a difference in his life.
Spiritual gifts, God's truth, and life. The deeper it